to take us back 31 years. In 1993, I was appointed to serve as the senior pastor at Cockrell Hill United Methodist Church in Dallas, Texas. Cockrell Hill was a struggling church. It was a church that had, in the late 1960s, topped out in its membership at around 1,000 members. It was vibrant then, alive then, going places then, a dynamic religious powerhouse in the old residential area of southwest Dallas. But with the demographic shifts that swept through Dallas in the 1970s and 80s, people moving to the suburbs in a form of white flight, especially to get away from the integration of the public schools, Cockrell Hill dwindled in its membership. So much so, in fact, that by the early 1990s, it had dwindled down to just 200 members, and there were fewer than 50 in worship when I arrived. I was sent there as a young pastor with no chance to change it, no expectation that I would be able to save it. I was told, just pastor them and serve as their hospice chaplain until they died off. That's what the DS said. When I got there, I noticed that the church building was in severe disrepair. We're not just talking about some deferred maintenance. We're talking about the place was coming apart at the seams. It was falling to pieces. At one point, about a month after I got there, the ceiling fell in a section of unused classrooms over in the empty education building. I asked, how did you let the building get into such a state of disrepair? And Ms. Mating Goodnight, the matriarch of the congregation, who was about 90 years old at that time, said to me, Greg, we all thought we would die off before the building fell down. It was a sad confession, but true. The building was dark and quiet during the week. We had worship on Sunday mornings and a couple of Sunday school classes met before that, but that was pretty much it. The church office was the only tiny piece of the building that was open at any time during the week with lights and AC on. But even that was only on Mondays and on Thursdays, when the secretary would come in to process the mail and to prepare the worship bulletin. I officed from the house, usually. And our four-person choir practiced on Sundays before worship and again after worship. Nothing happened in the church throughout the week. The church was so close to being dead that I could almost hear the Cheney Stokes breathing echoing throughout the halls. And it drove me to tears. Over several months, after talking with people both in and outside of the church and inside of the church, including the director of Mi Escuelita, which was a small Spanish language Head Start program that operated just a street over in a dilapidated storefront of a strip mall, I thought, after conversations with people, that I might see a glimmer of hope, a spark of a new idea for this church, of something that the corpse of Cockrell Hill United Methodist Church could offer to its surrounding community. I set to work with a team of church members, about five people, including Miss Maydeen, who had been a teacher and then a principal for years there in Dallas, and the director of the Mi Escuelita school and a couple of her teachers. And we met together for several days, evening after evening after evening, envisioned what we could see for this church. And we set about writing several grant requests, which we sent to multiple entities in several interest areas across the country. In these grant requests, we described what our facility had to offer to our community there in the Cockrell Hill area of Oak Cliff. If only we had the funds to repair and rebuild and remodel it and upgrade it to modern standards. Most specifically, a home for Miasquelita Preschool, a senior center for the aged in the Cockrell Hill community, a food and clothing pantry for those in need, a site for Methodist Central Hospital in Dallas to locate a free medical clinic there, and several other dreams and ideas. We thought big, and we asked for big. We didn't know if we would receive a thin dime, but figured that if we didn't ask, you wouldn't get. We cast the dream, we voiced a hope, and we shared it. Our great, big, empty buildings had promise, an excellent location in the center of its community, and other than the area where the ceiling had fallen in, much of the repairs were either superficial or pinpointed on things like plumbing and electricity. We got 4 of the 9 grants we wrote, totaling $750,000. That equates to $1.5 million in 2024. That's a lot of money, friends. And with those funds, Cockrell Hill repaired, rebuilt, remodeled, upgraded, and came back to life. Miasquelita was able to move in and launch a larger, more powerful presence in the community, going from 24 kids to 75 kids, then to 100 kids, then to 150 kids during my years as pastor in that church. We built that senior center, which hosted more than 100 people every single week, a food and clothing pantry that gave out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of foodstuffs, clothing to people in need in the area, the medical clinic, which was one of the first to open in the area, the economically depressed areas of Dallas, and much more. The conference launched a Spanish language youth program that met in our building. Eventually, a Spanish language congregation grew out of that. And over the subsequent 30 years, that congregation has grown in size and in vibrancy and is now a worshiping heart of that part of inner city Dallas. The church went from a dark, cold, empty tomb filled with dry bones, barely breathing, to a living, breathing, thriving church today. Mortal, can these bones live? I answered, "Oh Lord, you know." And God said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." The word breath here is the Hebrew word ruach. And yes, it means breath, but it also means wind, and it means spirit. When in the Genesis creation account in chapter 2, it says that God formed the earth creature, the Ha'adam, the Adam from the dust of the earth, and breathed into it, and they became a living spirit. The Hebrew word used for breath here is ruach, the same word is used here. God's breath, God's very life, blowing into us, blowing through us towards others. God breathes into us the breath of life, and we live. Yes, even old, brittle, dry bones can live, can breathe, can come to life again, can change and take on new things, can be transformed and made new. Change can be scary, unknown, unseen. But to live, things must change. Life is the capacity to react to change. And that is what we have seen in these last few years, and especially this year in the United Methodist Church's General Conference. As the fire of God's love swept through that community, as God's breath breathed upon us, and we rose up and changed and welcomed in so many who had been pushed out, so many who had been told no, so many who had been rejected. God's breath moved through the General Conference and changes, real substantive changes, took place. Hope against hope. I can remember going to General Conference year after year after year, every 4 years, wondering, could it ever change? And finally, God's Spirit brought change. Where we thought it was impossible, new life has become. The new United Methodist Church has begun. Maideen Goodnight, that dear matriarch soul of the Cockrehill Church, she was an incredible person. In 1996, with the church having new life breathed into it, Miss Maideen Goodnight, just a few days before I was to be moved from that congregation, Miss Maideen Goodnight had a heart attack. Right there in church, being part of the group that was performing CPR on her, I would do chest compressions, then someone else would come in and do chest compressions relieving me, and then I would be relieved to do some more while we waited for the ambulance to get there. Someone else was breathing for her. And in between compressions, I was praying for Miss Maideen. And I remember her suddenly breathing in on her own and coughing. And as the paramedics arrived, I remember her asking, "What are all these handsome men doing gathered around me?" God brings life, new life, renewed life, new hopes and new dreams and new direction. The fire of God's love brings new existence, even in the valley of dry bones, where others may think that we're nothing but a pile of dry bones. God can and does bring life, new life. Life eternal, life that sees us through this one and into the next, life that gives us hope and joy, life that brings the voice of children and laughter and joy and new direction. On this Pentecost Sunday, I welcome us all to celebrate the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. To lift up those amongst us whom we know as the source of the breath of God, and to offer prayers of thanksgiving for the power of the Holy Spirit who comes to transform and make us new. A thinker of the Church of England, a theologian of the Church of England who eventually became a Roman Catholic priest and cardinal, was John Henry Newman, and he wrote a prayer that has stuck with me for years and years and years. I learned it when I was in the monastery, and I pray it still today. I ask you to allow these words to flow through you as the breath of God sweeps through you, and know the touch of the Holy Spirit in your life. Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, come as holy fire and burn in us. Come as holy wind and cleanse with us within. Come as holy light and lead us in the darkness. Come as holy truth and dispel our ignorance. Come as holy power and enable our weakness. Come as holy life and dwell in us. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us, until we are set free from the service of ourselves to be your servants to the world. In the holy name of Christ, by the Holy Spirit of God, we pray. Amen. Christ our Lord invites to the table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. So now I invite you to join me in the great thanksgiving in the musical settings as seen on the screen.
The Lord be with you.
Right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come and you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word, and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to the disciples, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The disciples knew the Lord Jesus in the breaking of the bread. And we know the blessings of the love of God showered upon us in the precious blood of the Lamb. If those who are assisting would come forward at this time.